following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News and is brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. And now, here are your hosts, Jim Ozarski and Tom Silverstein.
Good afternoon, everyone. Happy holidays. And in advance, I guess we're getting close to the new year, so hopefully you're preparing for that as we are here at Lambeau Field. Jim Ozarski along with Tom Silverstein. The final regular season preview podcast, if you will. Of course, we will be coming to you live from Ford Field in a few days here, Tom. But, you know, that this Packers team still with something to play for, so much so that head coach Matt LaFleur comes out on Thursday and says, this is a playoff game in which they will not practice. Or at least they didn't on Thursday, instead going through two walkthroughs after giving the team December 25th off. So let's start there. He is verbally saying it's important, but also acknowledging they're throwing a lot at them mentally. They're not, banging on each other this week in practice. So What does that say, and how does that maybe get them ready to clinch a bye this weekend?
Well, I think it's the smart thing to do. You know, the last thing you want to do is come into that game with a physical hangover. You don't want to feel like your legs are dead, and because that part, you can't lose that part of the game. There is a mental side to it that will probably suffer because of the short week and the lack of practice, but in no way can you walk in there with heavy legs and sore, you know, bodies because you worked out after having a Monday night game. So I think he's doing the right thing. I think you do want to take care of your body first. I think you also feel like there shouldn't be any way in which the Lions beat you. Now, it's easy to say that, and we've seen upsets in the NFL that don't make any sense. But I think if you just line the Packers up, and if they are physically ready to play, I don't think there's many instances where they'll lose to Detroit, and I don't see the benefit in practicing more than resting guys.
So the last Monday night game was against the Lions, and you know the Packers stayed home and put on probably their best offensive showing of the year with a 42-24 win over Oakland. Now that said, Tom, you know their clunkers this year have come on the road at LA. And obviously we know coming off the bye at San Francisco, and I'm sure if there is a concern for Packers fans, it would be that. You know, it is the emphasis on resting legs and, you know, just kind of grinding through guys mentally and jamming a lot in there, coupled with a really bad Lions team, what's going to be a lack of energy at Ford Field, can that all kind of collapse on itself where you just – all of a sudden, it's halftime and it's 10-3, and you know you've got a Lions team that's all of a sudden into it.
Yeah, it could, and I think this comes down again to the same thing the Vikings game came down to, and I think it's going to come down to everything. It's going to come down to this every week for the Packers. The only way they're going to get through the playoffs is to continue to force their will on the two lines of scrimmage, offense and defense. They've got the ability to hammer people a little bit on defense, we know that for sure. And I think we're starting to see that when they are committed to running the ball and teams are going to give them the run, then they can pound you, and I think they can do that with this Detroit defense, but you got to stay committed to that, and they can't get in one of these games where early on Rodgers is flinging it all over the place and they're not hitting and they're facing lots of third downs and long third downs. I think you go into this game and you don't necessarily try to go for the knockout punch right away. I think you go in and you just try to wear these guys down, because from a talent standpoint, you're way ahead of them. They're injured. You know, you gotta just lean on them all game long and don't get greedy.
And you know what they can't do, Tom, is they can't drop the ball three times in the first half like they did against Minnesota. You don't want to drop this ball. This New Year's Eve, it's coming up. Ring in 2020 at Pottawatomie. It's Milwaukee's biggest New Year's Eve party. Tom Silverstein will be on the ones and twos, so make sure you get your tickets that just start at just $49. That's not true, Tom. He might be.
You never know.
Yeah, so I can't guarantee that. Yeah. So get your tickets at mkenyeve.com. Well, let me ask you, Tom. Can you be? I guess you could be physical the way they've been going. Matt LaFleur told you this week they've probably been a little more committed to the run of late. Now, what's interesting, you mentioned don't go for the knockout punch early. Do you think the quarterback might be itching for that a little bit? I mean, for all of the bouquets the head coach threw at him for staying within the game plan, making his reads, understanding Minnesota wasn't going to allow that stuff.
Yeah.
Look, Matt Patricia's stubborn. He likes going man-to-man regardless of what personnel he has and how good or not good they are.
Yeah.
So much so that Mitchell Trubisky looks great against these guys. I mean, I'm not saying Marquez Valdes-Scantling can't get open on the first play of the game and they go 1 for 75 yards. However, Detroit just happens to like to play that way, and that doesn't always connect with this group. The big downfield play gets dropped. It gets knocked away.
It can sucker you into thinking you're gonna be able to pass every down against them, and go in and say, well, I love these matchups, these one-on-one matchups, and we got to take advantage of that. I don't think that's the way to necessarily go into the game. I mean, I think that is something you do want to exploit at some point, but I still think don't let the game get out of hand early. Don't let a bunch of crazy things happen that get you behind and force you to just throw the ball. Okay, make sure you're controlling the line of scrimmage and make sure that you're not giving the Lions great field position like they did the Vikings. And if it weren't for the second half when they came back and, you know, gained their senses and started running the ball, that they won that game. So I just think just be careful about getting into one of these shootout kind of things where, you know, your first three possessions are turnovers, or, you know, punt and two turnovers, because then all of a sudden you're caught in a game that you don't really want to be in on the road with a team that's got nothing to lose.
Right. Do you think the fact that the offensive line, the quarterback, and no doubt the head coach are acutely aware that Aaron Jones needs two touchdowns to set the club record for rushing touchdowns, top of Mon Green's record, the fact he's 16 yards away from 1,000 yards. Now, throughout the year, guys don't like to talk about numbers.
Yeah.
But those are numbers. Look, the running back wants it. He said it. Aaron Rodgers said, hey, he's well aware of the 20. They care about that stuff. They like, no doubt the linemen like that stuff. Mm-hmm. Do you think that sort of weird carrot can help keep them on track a little bit, or at least if they get to a point where it's time to score touchdowns, they just give it to the guy who's been really good at it?
maybe. I guess you'd want to get them 20 if you can. I think my objective in that game would be to get Aaron Jones walking out of the stadium with nothing wrong with him.
Right.
And you may have to give him more carries than you want, because Jamal Williams, we don't know his status yet. He's got the shoulder, and even if he does play, we don't know how long he would last. you know, there are all kinds of things where you could say in this game, just go ahead and fire the ball downfield against the Lions. But I do think they will try to get Aaron Jones those touchdowns, but they got to do it naturally. I mean,
right.
If they're on the 1 yard line, of course, just give it to them. But I, you know, they have to see how the Lions are going to play it. If the Lions are going to bring a guy up to the line of scrimmage, extra guy up to the line of scrimmage, you still got to run it. But okay, then you can think about starting to spread it around. But don't lose sight of the objective, which is to win the line of scrimmage. Win it. Pound, lean on these guys, because that's your best option to win.
And what's interesting is they can accomplish several goals by doing that. You mentioned getting the starting running back to the bye with a win healthy. You can do that by being sharp and focused early. Win early. The Lions have played, I think, 7 or 8 of their losses have been by a score. That's usually how this league is. However, 2 of the last 3 weeks, down 17-0 at half against Minnesota, down 21-3 at half against Tampa. Their cars will be running, quite literally. If you can get on them early, they will want – we've seen this, Tom. We saw this last year with the Packers at Lambeau Field. If you give them every reason to pack it in, they will, and then maybe that we could see Tim Boyle, Tyler Irvin, et cetera, in the second half.
Yeah, we'll just go back 12 months and remember where the Packers were in week 16 or 17, and the Lions came in here, and they weren't even going to the playoffs,
right.
And they just kicked the crap out of the Packers. I mean, in every which way.
Like,
and
literally, Aaron Rodgers gets knocked out.
Yeah. Yeah, and even if he hadn't, they would have lost by a ton. So, you know, that's the kind of thing you want to do. But they did that by just, again, they just beat the Packers physically and mentally. They just pounded on them. And I think that's what Green Bay does have. They're not going to have a lot of resistance. I don't even know how much they want to. Are they playing for Matt Patricia's job? I don't know. I don't know if he's that strong in the locker room or not. But if he's not, then they're going to just, at some point, probably roll over like the Packers did last year.
Yeah, I think, you know, you mentioned, and it's funny, I'm sure you guys are listening to, oh, the Lions are terrible. You know, but again, the Falcons are terrible and have won a couple games. The Cardinals are terrible and had Brett Hundley win a game. They're still playing, and Jeff Blau, the undrafted rookie out of Purdue, he's only completing 56% of his passes. He doesn't have Marvin Jones. He doesn't have T.J. Hockenson. The running game, I don't know, Tom, I think you turned down an offer to start for them this week. But he's shown enough to me, beginning with that Thursday game on Thanksgiving against the Bears, of mm-hmm. all teams, with no practice, that he's not going to lay down for anybody.
No.
And Kenny Golladay, for as good as Jair Alexander can be, Kenny Golladay is really, really good, and he can wreck things. And look, even if they wanted to shadow Alexander, he's a monster. So there's just enough there to cause some problems offensively. And then, you know, again, they're paid. They had a 17-13 lead going into the fourth quarter last week against Denver mm-hmm. before the Broncos finally put it away. So they have enough to hang around.
Yeah, they do. It should not, in all,
right.
you know, way, shape, and form, it should not be a game.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be even close.
It should be the one blowout I think we've been kind of waiting for.
Yes, yes. That said, you know, the key is, I don't know, I just keep saying to myself or thinking to myself, you got to wear a team like this down because there's just not going to be enough resistance. And the longer you keep let them stick around in the game, then you find out you're starting to have a game. Your ideal game is by midway through the third quarter, you're up by 40 points, and you can put Tim Boyle in and Dexter Williams and start replacing offensive linemen and all of that kind of thing. I think that's what you're shooting for, and that should be the carrot. And so I don't know if you can do that. I suppose you could do it if you came out just firing, but I don't think that's a high percentage way to do it. I think a better percentage way would be to just keep, stay balanced. Make sure you're running the ball. Make sure you're taking advantage of your best players.
Yeah, and really, I mean, I mentioned that Oakland game earlier. You know, Rodgers had the 5 touchdown throws. They haven't come out firing at all. I mean, the Lions might give them that opportunity to build some confidence on indoors. A defense that's susceptible to some stuff. You know, maybe Marquez Valdes-Scantling catches 2 balls for 100 yards.
Yeah.
You know, and you can do some of that. But I don't know, Tom. I don't know if this team has it in them, even against a bad team, to sling it around and look great. I think you're right. It's run it, even if Jamal Williams can't go. I think Tyler Irvin, you know, we saw him worked in. If Dexter Williams is up, to me, that's the one injury that's worth having a guy not fight through it this week. Mm-hmm. You know, despite the – because you know you're in, and you figure with Aaron Jones being the lead guy anyway, you should have enough where Jamal Williams should – to me, I think – I don't think he should dress.
Yeah. I don't really know the extent of his shoulder injury. I saw him a little bit in the locker room, and – he didn't seem to be – I saw him moving his right arm around, and so he seemed to be okay. But I still think, regardless of how much he plays, this is a game where they should finish with, like, 200 yards rushing, 180 yards rushing, just like the Vikings game. And I think the reason you want to do that is because you want to send a message – continue to send a message that to beat Green Bay, you've got to stop their running game. You've got to worry about their running game before you worry about Aaron Rodgers. And then if the Packers can accomplish that and start getting teams to play single high safety and things like that, then Rodgers is going to have a better chance at succeeding in the playoffs. So go in there and do what you did against the Vikings. And even if it's a grind, show people that, you know, to stop them, you're going to have to stop their run game.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, how long did we talk about and wonder what this team did well? What could they hang their hat on? And I would say, you know, pretty much since the Washington game, as Matt LaFleur said, they've remained more committed to the run. The offensive line has played so well of late.
Mm-hmm.
I think the linemen who've been saying since Kansas City, at least, that they want to be a run team first, I think have gotten their wish. I think that has played off. I think the quarterback has, you know, he said Thursday, Tom, he's not asked to throw 40 touchdowns this year in this offense. He gave that little qualifier.
Mm-hmm.
And he's okay with that. I mean, he says he still cares about his numbers, but he's like, we don't have 5 receivers on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
No, I mean, I thought he was extremely honest when he said he does care about the numbers.
Yeah.
And so I give him credit for that, but that also would send a shiver down my spine if I'm Matt LaFleur, because I still don't want him. I thought he defended himself in saying, you know, I had a 68 rating, but people don't see what I was doing at the line of scrimmage and getting us into the right plays and, you know, making sure that everything is running smoothly and we're doing that. Exactly. That's, if that's what you need, if that's what he needs for people to cheer him on for making the right RPO or audible, then maybe that's what the coaches should do is celebrate that part of his game, because that's a good thing. If that's what he's doing really well, right now, that's a good sign for their offense. I think we know that if he gets in a situation where they're way behind, they can. He's got the background, the pelts to be able to throw the ball around the field if they need it. What they need from him is not that right now. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. I think it was good that he defended himself that way, you know, and others should be defending that. That means a lot.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it may bode well for their end goal, which is, you know, they're talking about, you know, wanting to run the playoffs through Lambeau Field. Now, the only thing they can control by, you know, 3:30 on Sunday is with a victory, they get a home game for sure at home and a bye. They'll have to wait, you know, until the Sunday night game is concluded to find out if Seattle gives them a little help. But, Todd, I mean, obviously you've been around this team that's, you know, they had to go on the road to get their one Super Bowl. How many NFC title games have they played at home? I mean, it's not many, right, at least in Rodgers' tenure. And the 1-15 in 1 year, they lay an egg at home in the division round. They didn't even get that opportunity. So, I don't know. I think if you want that advantage, having a ground game is not a bad thing. And it's been unlike something in recent memory for him and for this team, right? Mm-hmm. To say not just you have to come through Lambeau Field, but you actually have to stop Aaron Jones and a strong offensive lot.
Yeah.
You know, flip it to the other side, I think, defensively, Tom, we touched on it post-game against Minnesota. You've had a few days to think about it. Is the defensive effort, has it looked a little better since Sunday? Do you think, especially you feel they should stack that against this undermanned Lions team? You know, they could be ending the year with five straight games, giving up less than 16 points a game, 15 points a game. I mean, that you could have a really confident, healthy group heading into the postseason here.
Well, I think they can feel really good about what they did against the Vikings. I think they can feel really good about excellent game plan against them, taking advantage of their weakness of not having Dalvin Cook. But I think it's not the end game. I think what they are is they took another step with their defense. They've sort of righted the ship a little bit, and they're putting some games together in which they're playing the run very well. They seem to have gotten all their communication together and are not blowing a lot of assignments. They're still getting beat on, you know, by physical, teams outplaying them at times, and that's going to happen. But the resiliency and the determination and mostly the pass rush is what they have a lot to build on with that. Right now, if you're an opponent, your number one goal is to figure out where Za'Darius Smith is going to be, and then how do you block him and Kenny Clark? I think if that's your number one objective, and that's a great place to start for Green Bay, because you have so many other things you can work off of that. You have other players that you can use to play off that. So I think they're in a good place defensively. I just don't think they're there yet. And I think this won't be much of a test other than maybe endurance, because who knows, maybe Detroit's going to have a lot of snaps. Maybe they will be able to run the ball a little bit because the Packers are a little worn down. I don't know, but this will be just another step. I think they want to be able to build off of what they did against the Vikings, because the next time they play, it's going to be probably a tougher game than what they faced last week and what they faced this weekend.
Yeah, it's it's interesting. They have a lot in front of them, and that there's still some questions as to where they're at, right? After 16 games, usually you figure kind of you know what they are, and maybe that's a good thing in their view, you know, where there could be 13-3 with a bye and a home game at least and still feel their best footballs in front of them. I don't know. That's kind of an interesting thought.
Yeah, I think they know that they're building on something. I think they're exactly what you would want at the end of the season, which is that after some shaky moments, the month of December has been pretty good. It may not be the best competition they've ever faced, but it's they have shut down just about everybody they've played. So that's a pretty good sign. And if they can continue, you know, building on that, then they, by the time they get to week two of the playoffs, when they play again, more than likely, then they got a chance to be even better. So I thought they were a darn good defense in Minnesota, where it's not an easy place to play. We don't know what effect Dalvin Cook would have had in that game. It could have made the difference for Minnesota, but I do think the Packers were determined to stop the run, and even if Cook had played, I think there's a pretty good chance they would have won the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, you're right, and what we don't know too, Tom, is would Dalvin Cook have dropped the ball? I don't know. You don't want to. Ring in 2020 at Pottawatomie, where they will drop a ball, or at least you could see one on TV. It's Milwaukee's biggest New Year's Eve party. Tickets start at just $49. Get yours at mkenyeve.com. And to your point with December football, Tom, a victory would make the Packers 5-0 in the month of December, ending the year in a five-game winning streak. They've all been relatively close games. You know, the Giants and Vikings, they pulled away late. I'm sure they would love to have an early lead and kind of rest guys, you know, through the second half, or as many as they can. And then kind of watch like the rest of us. We'll just leave it there. I'm guessing you're going to believe the Packers win and do what they need to do. How do you see the rest of Sunday playing out? Unbelievably, if the Eagles lose and the Dallas wins, somehow the Cowboys are in the playoffs. Yeah. Seattle, what do you think of Seattle signing, trying to go back in the Wayback Machine and sign Marshawn Lynch and Robert Turbin to play running back for them with those guys haven't played? How do you see this sort of shaking out Sunday around what the Packers do?
I think Seattle's in desperation mode, and I think San Francisco, you know, even though they've had some tight games and an embarrassing loss, I think they're going to go in there and win. I think they're going to I think this is a game they've probably been looking forward to for a while, and I think I think as they say, the NFL is a battle of attrition, and I think San Francisco will be able to win because Seattle is not at full strength. And I still think that San Francisco is the best team in the NFC. And this is the kind of game where if you are the best team in the NFC, you go in there and you win. You win against a division opponent, just like the Packers did against Minnesota. They proved they are the best team in the division. So that's what I think will happen with San Francisco. And if that's the case, then the Packers are the number two seed. And everybody comes through Green Bay except for San Francisco. So I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't think it really matters whether they're the one or two, because either way, they're going to have to beat a really good team. Or more than likely to get to the Super Bowl, they're going to have to beat San Francisco. So, you know, one way or another, if they get that far. And, they'd like to get them at home, but reality is you got to beat them wherever they are and just prove you're a better team.
Yeah, I think the, if you play around with the playoff machines and brackets and who wins what. I mean, if you figure if Sunday goes, you know, chalk, and the Packers are a second seed, I mean, odds are, you know, how does that work? They'd get the Saints maybe.
Well, I don't, you know, it depends kinda, so much. Everything gets reseeded after the first round, after the wild card round
right.
is done. So Packers would play, if they're the second seed, then they play the team with the best record that's remaining. And the number one seed plays team with the worst record. So, God, there's so many different ways that could come about. But you would assume that it would be, if they're number two, I would assume that it would be New Orleans.
Yeah.
Would be the team that would be coming to Green Bay.
Which is...
That's my guess.
Yeah. So I guess if Packers fans are interested, if that game, if the game they are interested in and you don't really want to see some backup football, maybe flip over and see Saints-Panthers just to get an early look at what Michael Thomas, Drew Brees are doing out there. So, yeah, it's... It'll be interesting Sunday. I'm curious. That my biggest curiosity going in, Tom, to wrap this up, is just how do the Packers respond, you know, from a week where the coach rewarded them for what they did Monday, you know, trying to preserve the health they have. You know, we got the injury report Thursday. Jamal Williams did not participate. You know, you guys got – guys are all dealing with something. Mm-hmm. Right, so do they come out sharp in that way? That's the thing I'm curious about. Is do they in turn reward the coaching staff for that faith?
I think they will. Yeah. I do. I feel like this is a game they'll eventually win, and probably by a lot. I don't think it's going to be that close. I don't think they're the kind of team that will take advantage of LaFleur in this regard. He's putting a lot of trust in them by not practicing, and we know that when they didn't practice, they kind of stunk, you know, when they didn't practice on Wednesday, but they were also weren't coming off a Monday night game. And, you know, this late in the season, it's more about having healthy bodies. You know you're more talented than Detroit. Just don't come out with cement legs,
because
that's one way you can lose in a hurry.
Yeah. Well, we will be there, as we always are, from Ford Field on Sunday afternoon. We will get you post-game, and of course, subscribe to jsonline.com, packersnews.com. Turn on the push notifications when you download all of the apps so you can get Tom buzzing you in your pocket when all that stuff is ready to go post-game. Of course, join Tom on the live blog throughout the game, and you know, we'll be not only covering what happened Sunday, but then spinning everything forward and looking ahead to the first Green Bay postseason in what, three seasons?
Yeah,
2016.
Yeah.
So
2016, when they went to the NFC Championship game, we'll know who the Packers are playing. It's probably by the time the game's over. Well, no, because San Francisco, Seattle's later. We won't know for sure. We'll know whether they're have a first-round bye.
Right.
We'll also more than likely know their schedule. Well, by the end of the night, we'll know their schedule for next year, so you can start planning for that.
Yeah.
Not really, because you don't know when they're going to play.
Yeah.
But we'll have an idea who will be on their schedule next year. And, you know, we'll know whether Aaron Jones has set a record and all the other kind of things.
Yeah. So be sure
finales produce.
Exactly. So be sure to be with us through the websites and, of course, also social media platforms. We look forward to speaking with you in just a couple days' time. So for Tom, I'm Jim. We'll talk to you then.